Here, Stephen continues his discussion of proactivity, focusing on circles of influence and concern. With these life-changing concepts, you'll be able to focus on what's most important for you, putting other issues in the proper perspective.
I can't do it. I just don't have the time. Everyone has the same amount of time, right? I can't do it. I just don't have the time. Reactive, see? I can't. Something outside, the limitation of time, is controlling me. I can't do it. I must. I just have to. Some things you just have to do. This is one of them. Have to. Don't want to. Have to go on this debate trip, my daughter said. Well, honey, don't you choose to go? If I had my choice, there's no way. I said, what will happen if you don't go? I'll let my partner down and the team. How do you feel about that? Well, I don't want to do that. So you choose not to let him down. You pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. You can't choose the consequences of your actions, but you can choose your actions. So if your consequences are in harmony with your value system, you choose to go on the debate trip. Or else choose not to go. I had a student one time say to me, would you excuse me from class? I have to go on a tennis trip. What's the operative word there? Have to, see? He's not responsible. He has to go on the trip. I said, you have to? And by the way, it was just after talking about the language of reactive and proactive people. You have to? Or do you choose to? Oh, well, I have to do it. I just have to. Well, what'll happen if you don't go? Kick me off the team if I don't participate. How do you like that consequence? I don't. In other words, you choose to go. Because you want the consequence of staying on the team. What'll happen if you don't come to my class? He said, I don't know. Think. What do you think the natural consequence of not coming to class would be? I don't know. Think hard. Really, what would happen? You wouldn't kick me out, would you? Is that's not a natural consequence. Not participate on the tennis team, then that would be a natural consequence. You don't get to play, see? But not to come to class. What's the natural consequence? Think hard. What will really happen naturally if you don't come? I'll miss the learning. That's right. So you have to weigh that consequence against the other and make a choice. I know if it were me, I'd choose to go on the tennis trip. But never say you have to do anything. He meekly said, I choose to go on the tennis trip. And miss my class. Really, listen to language of people. Listen to your own. And just see where the locus of responsibility falls. Is it outside self or inside? I suggest highly effective people falls inside. They're inner directed, not outer directed. I now like to teach another idea that to me is so exciting. And the idea can be visualized. It's a good way of putting almost everything that we're talking about, this idea of proactivity, into a diagram. And you can think about it. Two circles. Okay, an inner circle we call the circle of influence. It's a small inner circle. The outer circle surrounding the inner circle is called the circle of concern. The circle of influence basically means those are things you can do something about. You can have influence upon them or control over them. The circle of concern, the outer circle, represents things you can do nothing about. You have no control and no influence. Where does the proactive person focus? Which circle? Inner circle. What do you think happens to it? Larger and larger. Where does the reactive person focus? Things outside themselves, over which they have no control or influence. What happens to the inner circle? Increasingly small. Shrinks, it withers. That's a great little diagram because you can use it to motivate yourself by it and say, no matter what the circumstance is, I'm going to give my energies to the inner circle. If the two of us sit and talk about our supervisor, and we're continually bad-mouthing her, putting her down, coming up with explanations, you know, and validating each other. What do you know I'm doing? When you and I have a falling out, you know my nature. See, our whole focus is outside our circle of influence. It's on her. It's on our concern. It's our boss. She's the problem. It's her way of doing things. It's her negative energy. But you know that's my nature. So the two of us will have the same problems. It just takes a different storm of life, see, that descends upon us. So consequently, my circle of influence is just withered with you. That's exactly what happens when people get their energy focused on other people's weaknesses. Unknowing, even though at the moment it may seem to you naive that you're kind of collaborating with in condemning somebody else, but unknowingly, like the construction people phrase go, it's bad mud. It's a bad foundation. It's bad cement on which to build our own relationship. So my circle of influence is smaller. But what if, on the other hand, you were to say, Stephen, and then to criticize and badmouth her, and I were to say to you, you've got a good point there. Why don't we go and talk to her about it? Let's see what we can do to improve the situation. I've just made a huge deposit into the emotional bank account of your trust toward me. Because you know that if someone were to badmouth you outside of your presence, I would want to go to you. I wouldn't want to badmouth behind someone's back. Go and make reconciliation. That's how the circle of influence gets larger and larger. Isn't that an exciting concept, really, when you think about it? It's also very threatening, isn't it? It's very scary. Puts an enormous responsibility upon us. And that is not an easy thing. But I suggest that's what proactive people do. That's what highly effective people do. They work where they can. That doesn't mean they're unaware of weaknesses out there. No, they're aware of those weaknesses. But it doesn't consume them. They don't wrap their emotional energy about those weaknesses. They don't empower those weaknesses. You know, one of the great experiences I've ever had in an organization took place where I worked for 4 years with this organization in a particular position, and the president of the organization was a very dynamic person, very creative, talented person, capable person. And everyone knew it. Great vision. A futurist kind of person that could read trends. Brilliant mind. But he had a style of management that was very dictatorial. Tended to treat people like gophers. As if they didn't have any judgment, see? Go for this. Now go for this. Now do this. All make the judgment. And he was so brilliant, he could make good judgments. But the net effect is he alienated almost the entire executive team surrounding him because of the way he treated them, except for one man. This man was proactive. Now, how would a proactive person deal with such a leader? Remember, a proactive person is value-driven, not feeling-driven. He could be offended, but not take offense. You know what he did? He took initiative. Proactive people are initiative-seizing individuals. They also anticipate. They read the culture. They read the people. What can I do to be effective with that person? What were the president's strengths? Vision, talent, energy, brilliant judgment. So what would a proactive person do with strengths? Utilize them. Run with them. Optimize them. What were his weaknesses? His style. What would a proactive person do with weaknesses? Wouldn't wrap his life around it like the rest had done and absolve himself of responsibility in the name of the president's weaknesses, stand out in the executive corridors, you know, and massage each other's hearts as they confess the president's sins every day. You know what he did lately? Let me tell you. The other day he went into my department. I had everything really laid out well, you know. And he came in and he gave totally different signals. All that I built up over that period of time, shot like that. Let me listen to you. Really? How old is the guy? 59? Could you live 6 more years here before they retire him? I bet they wouldn't even retire him. He's the kind of a guy the board will keep on. They don't know what's happening. You know, they don't really know. Look at the language and the validation of the reactive temperament of their out there in the executive corridors, except for this one man. He anticipated. He empathized. He read the situation. He organized his life to run with the president's strengths, make them productive, and his weaknesses irrelevant. He would tend to buffer his people. And he was a gopher, too, only he was the best gopher. He was a second-mile gopher. He'd do more than what was expected. The president asked for this information. I wonder why he wants it. My guess is that the issues he's dealing with are pretty big issues that he's going to have to take to the board. My guess is he wants it for these purposes, even though he didn't tell me those purposes. I'm going to gather this information and then give my analysis and my recommendations. I used to sit with the president. Stephen, he said one day, I just can't believe what he's doing. I asked him to do this. He got additional information beyond it. And it's exactly what we needed. And then he gave his analysis of it in terms of this concern that I have and his recommendations. Oh, how consistent the recommendations are with the analysis and the analysis with the data. It's tremendous. What a relief not to have to worry about that part of the business. Next meetings. Go for this. Go for this. Go for this. Go for this. But this individual, he said, what's your opinion? What happened to his circle of influence? Started getting larger. What's your opinion? More than a gopher. What did all the reactive minds do in the executive corridors that day? Talked about this proactive person. Why? You see, it's the nature of reactive people to absolve themselves of responsibility. So all they'll do is find more information, more ammunition. The problem is, he was proactive toward them. Little by little, his circle of influence toward them also went larger and larger. He made so many deposits into the emotional bank account of everyone around him that over a four-year period, no one could make any significant moves in that organization without that man's blessing, including the president. Why? His circle of influence was so large. And the president wasn't threatened by this, because this man's strength complemented his strength and made up for his weakness. So he had the strength of two people, see? That's called a complementary team. So proactive people are like, it's amazing what they do. They're not just aggressive, assertive, driving individuals that just go out and obnoxiously get what they want. They're not proactive. Those people are taking withdrawals all the time from the emotional bank accounts of other people. Sometimes the best proactive stance is to simply do nothing. Just be silent. Smile. Because maybe that'll make a deposit. Maybe you simply have to be patient. Any of you saw the movie Gandhi? Remember when he was being criticized in the legislative chambers by all of his fellow lawyers and politicians because he wouldn't, in angry, fiery rhetoric, condemn the British Empire and the way they were subjugating and controlling 300 million Indians and so forth? And they were criticizing him. Where is he? What's he doing? You know what he's doing? He was out in the paddy fields making small deposits. Deposits into the emotional bank account of all of the farmers, the peasants. One day, he decided to walk across the countryside, and 600,000 people followed him. One day, he decided to stop eating and brought England to its knees. Proactive people are smart. They're value-driven. They're value-driven. Now, admittedly, just understanding the two circles does not tell you how to work inside the circle of influence. We're going to get into that, but just the awareness. You see, anytime you think that the problem is out there, that very thought is the problem. Why? Where's your mind? It's reactive. Anytime you think the problem is out there in the outer circle, that thought is the problem. I have just empowered what's out there to control me. And I'm in a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sure enough, you'll find that the evidence will support your conviction. Now, it takes a lot of patience. But if you work on the inner circle, and you're smart, you work on the outside edge of it, it'll get larger and larger. You may not get what you want right now, but if you keep making deposits in the emotional bank account, I'll tell you what's in the inner circle. It's the bees. Something you can be. Be something, see? Be more patient. Be wise. Be smart. It's not the haves. The haves on the outside. If only I had someone. Some of you may even be sitting here wishing that your spouse were here. He's the one that needs this. She's the one that needs this. Or your boss. Oh, that's who. If I only had my boss here, see? Well, I think we all need it. But we missed the very point. If our mind and our emotions focus on something outside our circle of influence, we're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Because we have to wait for that out there to change before we will, see? Honey, if you would only be more cooperative, then we could do the kinds of things we want to do, and we would have peace in this home. Okay? I want to have somebody the way I want them to be. Then I could be happy. This other approach is you change from the inside out. You be differently. The greatest test of our proactivity capacity and muscles lies in the areas of life that we have a lot of emotions invested in. See, because reactive people are driven by their feeling, their emotion. Particularly in the family. And all of us belong to families, whether it's our own nuclear family, or our brothers and sisters, or our relationship with our parents, or aunts and uncles, or cousins. That's where you will find, usually, the highest tests of our proactivity. Because we are far more vulnerable. Sometimes we care so much. We have empowered weaknesses outside ourselves so much. And some families don't even talk to each other. There's a real split. And it takes a real proactive catalyst to bring about a healing in that family. Or it may be in a business situation where it looks like your whole future career lies in a relationship with a particular person, or in being in alignment with certain fundamental political trends inside that organization. And you feel like you're not on the fast track, and you feel dead-ended. That truly tests our proactivity the most. And it's the ordinary events of every day that we develop the capacity to handle the extraordinary pressures that we find in those situations. It's not a Dachau experience that Frankl had. It's how you handle a spoiled kid or a non-cooperative fellow worker. How do you handle a traffic jam when there's some slowpoke right in front of you? That's where proactivity muscles are developed and exercised. Little by little, imperceptibly, they gradually develop power, internal capacity, to handle the more major events of life. In fact, I suggest, if you want to test this proactivity idea and develop your muscles, your proactivity muscles, for 30 days, try this. Work on the circle of influence. For 30 days. Work on things you have control over. Work on you, on be. If you want to influence other people, work on your methods of influencing other people. Be more empathic, more understanding, or more confrontive. Whatever makes you effective, work on the circle of influence. Be a light. Be a producer. See? Be a model, not a critic. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. You're not naive to think that that's going to shape up the world. But neither are you ignorant of the power of your personal influence. Little by little developed over time, making deposits, trying to be more and more effective. It takes patience. You can't keep pulling up the flowers to see how the roots are coming. A lot of patience. How many here have a tendency toward impatience? Don't argue for that weakness or it'll be yours. Don't buy into that paradigm toward yourself. Live out of your imagination, not out of your memory. This is not easy. I know I flop around in this area all the time. A while back I was writing in my office on the subject of patience. And I could hear
My boy's running outside, and my patient's going down.
Patience. Inner control. Kids up there. Patience, an embodiment of the great values of faith, hope, and charity in this way. Oh. Stood up, walked out. David, now you go into your room, and you stay in there till you can behave yourself. Do you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to write. I just have to concentrate. What are you guys doing anyway? You know what they're doing? They're playing tackle football in a 3-foot-wide hallway. Just banging noises up and down the door. David, you know, his tail between his legs just went into his bedroom. Went down to see the other ones, and there was one of them laying on the ground with his bleeding from the mouth. He got an elbow in good faith. And David was down trying to get a towel out of the bathroom to help his brother, and Maria was taking a shower, wouldn't open up. Completely misinterpreted and overreacted, see? So I went in to apologize to David. Just as they opened the door, the first thing he said was, "I won't forgive you." I said, "Oh, honey, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize you're trying to help your brother. Why won't you forgive me?" He said, "Because you did it last week." In other words, Dad, you're overdrawn. I've had enough with these apologies. I don't believe it anymore. Test us all. But what a worthy, what a fun, what an adventuresome test. Try it for 30 days. Some people can hardly make it through a night. Just try it. Your people will be amazed. What's happened, you know? They'll think for a while you're manipulating. What you're real trying to do, you know, what's going on here? Kill me with kindness, that's your method now? Persist, see, just persist. But be smart. It's not just being kind, it's not being soft, it's being smart. Maybe confrontive, maybe strong and courageous. Maybe to anticipate, maybe patience, maybe smile, maybe Gandhi. That's the essence of proactivity.
This is the end of side 4.